We do have a caller calling in, and I'm going to imagine that this is Dr. Noelle Cloven. And Lana, I'm going to let you welcome her on and introduce her. So, Noelle.
Hello, it's Dr. Cloven.
Hi, Dr. Cloven. How are you?
Hello, Dr.
Good.
Well, we're going to read a little bit of your bio and then start off and ask, ask you a few questions, because we are celebrating World Ovarian Cancer Day, and we're so glad that you were able to call in.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
Well, it looks like we've got quite the doctor here. I mean, you are you specialize in gynecologic oncology, and that's a mouthful right there. You are with Texas Oncology, and you do have an office, I believe, in Fort Worth on South Henderson Street. Is that correct?
Yeah, in fact, we just moved into a new cancer center yesterday. So,
oh, wonderful.
Very nice new building right here in the medical district in Fort Worth.
Wonderful. And I think this is just great. You're married with three children, which in itself is great, but you've also got two golden doodles.
I know. Yeah, that was our way of handling when our last child went off to college. We had to compensate for the lack of children, so we got two puppies. And it's worked out okay. Maybe not the smartest thing, but it's been fun.
Yeah, are the two doodles harder to keep up with than a child?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways they are, but, you know, I think it was smart to get the two, because at our age, you know, I mean, having a puppy and having to play with it would be too hard, so they play a lot with each other, so that's actually turned out to be a good thing.
Well, I'm a huge dog lover, so I know, but it's like, I cannot imagine starting over and getting two more dogs right now, so.
I know.
But let's talk about, that we are celebrating, the awareness of ovarian cancer and being more, as I read, and we have a cancer survivor of cervical cancer in our office, but ovarian cancer being the seventh most common cancer, just tell us how you got into this practice and what led you there, and as well as I really would love for you to share the symptoms and what women need to be thinking about and watching.
Okay, well, I guess first of all, the one thing I wanted to point out is this is a disease that could affect any woman, and we're learning more and more, but it's still considered poorly understood. But what I see is that, you know, healthy women, I mean, these are women that get their regular exams. You know, these aren't people that, you know, neglect their health or, you know, don't get, you know, pap smears or don't eat healthy. So any woman is at risk. And, you know, I think with World Cancer, Ovarian World Cancer Day, I mean, I think this is the fifth year that we've been doing it. And the most important thing that we gain from this is just having this conversation.
Yes.
You know, there's a large social media base. You know, we're talking about on the radio. And so more people are learning about the symptoms and learning what to look out for. I forgot what the second question was. Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. What led you to be to go into this type of practice? Because I mean, the ovarian stuff is really scary to me. I do get my pap smears. I am very religious about it. But all of a sudden you look at some of these symptoms and I'm like, wow. I mean, how do you know what to do to detect it? Because they do call it the silent killer for women.
Right. So to answer the first question, this isn't something that I knew from a young age that I wanted to do. In fact, I was, you know, like many people, I'd never even really heard of gynecologic oncology until I was well into my training. And, you know, I knew early on that I really enjoyed caring for people, and I wanted to be in the type of practice where I develop long-term relationships with my patients. And I'm also just really fascinated by the science of medicine. That's one thing about cancer is you're kind of getting down to molecular and DNA and mutations, and we're just learning more and more about, you know, kind of what drives these things. So, I guess it was during medical school. I knew I wanted to focus on helping women, and then when I went to California, which is where I did my residency, that was the first time I was exposed to gynecologic oncology. So I'd already completed 4 years of medical school, you know, starting my secondary training in obstetrics gynecology, and it turned out that the program that I chose, even though I wasn't really interested in, or knew I was interested in oncology, was one of the top fellowships in the country. So I had wonderful mentors.
Okay.
And that's always so important, is, you know, who you meet along the way and, you know, how that influences you. And then when I met patients during my intern year, I just was just so inspired by, you know, their stories and their, you know, and their will and their fight and just how, you know, people, you know, react to these things. And I just think, I mean, to me, it's just a gift to have an opportunity to take care of people, you know, when they're most vulnerable. And just every day I'm inspired by my patients. I love my patients. It just kind of keeps me going.
And how long have you been with Texas Oncology?
Since 2009.
Okay.
Okay. Almost 10 years.
Wow. So so let me ask you this question. I mean, because there's so many things about survival rates and all that. What are some of the symptoms or the things that we should be looking for to go, okay, this is happening, and then when we go to you, I don't even know that I would know the first questions or what to say, or, you know, that I have this feeling something's wrong.
So the symptoms of ovarian cancer are tricky because they mimic more common conditions. So, you know, when you talk about the symptoms of ovarian cancer, you always include bloating, abdominal pain, pelvic pain, maybe feeling full quickly, urinating more frequently. But it can even be something as simple as fatigue that's persistent, constipation, heartburn. And so, you know, you don't want to scare everybody and say that, oh,
right,
if you have bloating, you've got, you know, ovarian cancer, because, I mean, who hasn't, you know, their pants haven't gotten a little tighter for different reasons, you know, in their life.
I think I've got three
thing
of those symptoms, you know, right now, which is scary.
Yeah, I know. So
I know.
It's kind of scary.
But
what I tell people is just really you just need to be an advocate. And, you know, if you have symptoms that persist for more than 2 weeks, you know, you really need to follow up on it. Don't just, you know, push it aside. I mean, everybody's busy, and particularly women are, you know, we're caregivers, and, you know, just go get it checked out. And the second thing is, if you go to the doctor and, you know, they diagnose you with something and you don't get better with the treatment, you should call them back and say, I'm not better, and, mm-hmm, you know, and have them pursue it further, because most of the women that have these symptoms are not going to have ovarian cancer, but some do. And we found that oftentimes women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer have been seen by many different doctors and have had, you know, symptoms for a while. And, you know, and it's just very tricky to diagnose.
So how do you do? Is it through a blood test, or what are some of the tests that you have to go through to diagnose?
Yeah. So what usually happens? So one other important thing is, if you're having pelvic symptoms, or you're having symptoms of bloating and, you know, and pelvic pain, nobody wants to have a pelvic exam. But really, that's the first step.
I'm
always surprised by, you know, the numbers of people that haven't had a pelvic exam by the time they make it to me.
I agree.
You know, being a subspecialist. But get the pelvic exam. If there's any question, a pelvic ultrasound can look at the ovaries, you know, kind of see if there's any cyst or any enlargement of the ovaries. And then if there is any, you know, if the symptoms remain unexplained, there is a blood test called a CA125, although it needs to be interpreted with caution, because you can have both false positives and false negatives with that test.
Okay. Okay, so with Texas Oncology, like, so I go to my gynecologist. So I go and I've just went, had blood tests for cholesterol and things like that. So, but if I'm feeling those symptoms, do I go back to her and say, hey, this just is, you know, here's the standard answer. Well, you're 54 years old, you're going to gain weight, so that's why you're bloated. And I'm like, no,
of course,
that, you know, it's not. But something's not right, and you know if you kind of pay attention to your body, you kind of know something just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I agree. I think knowing your body and following up, and if you have persistent symptoms, you know, you may have to be fairly persistent to get imaging studies or blood tests or a secondary referral.
Okay.
But I think that if, you know, if a woman feels that something's not right, usually she's right about that.
Yeah, strangely enough, the ones that question you and say things like that, you go, okay, hang on. I mean, it's more, I think, peace of mind just to know if it's truly not. I guess that's kind of my thing. And you know, we all, oh, it's thyroid. Oh, it's the. I mean, there's so many other things that we go to first, like you said, and being misdiagnosed when there seriously could be a problem, and ignoring it, and because we are afraid to ask.
Well, and I think also everything has to be taken in the context of an individual woman's family history. You know, certainly you're going to be more concerned about these symptoms if, you know, your sister had ovarian cancer, because that would increase the risk. Or as we age, you know, age is one of the strongest risk factors for ovarian cancer. So, you know, you just have to kind of look at the whole picture, too.
Right. Can't just jump to the conclusions, which I was really surprised on one of the websites that I read, that people that do not have children are can be more susceptible. And I've never had children. So I'm like, Carlos,
yeah,
they're adding
really
up. I don't like this.
Why
they don't know why?
I don't think it's very well understood why that is. It's, you know, it's also a risk factor for breast cancer, I believe. Could be something to do with hormones, could be due to some of the causes of infertility.
Okay.
It's just really unclear, but that is one of the risk factors. And conversely, being on birth control pills is decreases a woman's risk of ovarian cancer. A lot of women don't know that, fairly significantly. So if, you know, if you've been on the pill, you know, that's going to offset some of those risks related to not having had children.
Huh. Well, there you go. I'm on my way over there. I keep reading. I'm looking at all this. I'm like, okay, you know, and you start self-diagnosing yourself, right? Google.
Oh yeah. Google. Oh yeah.
Dr. Google.
Or MedMD. I've got everything.
I try not to be a hypochondriac, but you start reading this stuff, and that's what we in the office we get tickled because we're like, quit reading that crap, you know, because you just go to the doctor, because I'm sure you have so many people that come in and go, okay, I know I've got X, Y, and Z, and diagnosing themselves before you even get a chance. So, well, is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience? And we are going to post this link and try to help people be more aware. I think in our group, our people at work, this has hit home really even more than before because of someone having the cervical, and we learned so much more about the ovarian cancer because of the pap smear situation that just doesn't pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess one other thing that we have made some pretty significant advances in ovarian cancer treatment over the years. It's not always the death sentence that people used to think. So you know, there's a lot of hope involved. We have new chemotherapy drugs. You know, and even if people do need chemotherapy for ovarian cancer, the drugs that we use to manage the side effects have improved. So, you know, a lot of women, you know, can continue to, you know, lead, you know, I mean, you know, productive lives and work and travel and be with their families. We also have, just in the past year, we've had 3 new FDA approvals of targeted therapy. So we're starting to be able to better identify the causes and target specific things about, you know, the cancer that are, you know, improving, you know, long-term survival in patients. And I guess, you know, one thing is that, you know, things like this, you know, we're just really increasing the awareness and, you know, so other, you know, primary care doctors, you know, about the symptoms and they're able to recognize it and, you know, they know when to refer somebody. You know, we have increased support now for women. You know, we're able to provide survivorship, you know, counseling, you know, helping with, you know, financial and diet and exercise. And so it's just so much of a more all-inclusive thing than it used to be. So there is a lot of hope. And I just wanted to, you know, definitely make sure people were aware of that.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing with us. And I do, it is so important. You know, as we're talking, I can sit here, and poor Carlos, I mean, he's in on the female discussion today. But, you know, but 20, 25 years ago, I mean, we didn't talk about our cervix and our ovaries and our fallopian tubes public. You know, it was something, that's what, you know, it's we have to take that stigma away from it and be able to have conversations and, you know, just just be able to know that it's our body, and there's nothing bad about bringing it up and making people more aware of the needs to have checkups and things like that.
Exactly.
Yes. So, well, thank you so much, and we appreciate you joining us, Texas Oncology.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, it was awesome. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at your picture too. I don't think you had three children. And could have one off to college.
No, right? No, not at all.
Well, I don't know what picture you have, but it was probably Photoshop. So.
I have one of those on my website, too. Thank you very much. Well, thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you soon and appreciate your input and sharing the story.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, bye-bye.